With immersive media, if it's done in a good way, we are able to recreate a kind of reality, and this is pretty cool because it brings reality into your home.
The World Beyond. Michael Mack and his Emotioneers of Tomorrow. The Mack One Podcast.
Hi everyone, Michael Mack here, founder and CEO of Mack One. Welcome to Season 2 of The World Beyond. Mack One is an international creator and consultant of innovative theme park design, master planning, media-based entertainment, and media content for both VR and large screens. We create and develop ideas for the attraction industry of tomorrow. From now on, I will be hosting this podcast together with my team. We have great personalities who are absolute experts in their field. I call them the Emotioneers of Tomorrow. In this episode, my colleague Markus Ernst is your host. At our unit Mack Interactive, part of Mack One, Markus has been bringing people into VR for over 5 years who have never worn VR glasses before. Markus, let's go.
Thank you, Michael, and welcome to The World Beyond, the podcast where we explore the future of industries through the lens of innovation and technology. Today, I will be your host and have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Thomas Wagner. Thomas and I have known each other for a couple of years now, and I still remember when he once pitched an idea for a VR puzzle game to me, and I was immediately intrigued by his deep sense and understanding for pace, timing, physics, and gameplay mechanics. After 2 minutes talking to him, you immediately can tell he's an expert in virtual production, VR, AR, MR, you name it. And his track record will tell you about more than 10 years of experience in the media industry. And with the biggest Volksfest in the world, the Munich Oktoberfest just around the corner, Thomas this year made a big hit in signing the deal for the first and only officially licensed Oktoberfest game, bringing the spirit of this iconic event to a global audience through immersive technology. And I love to hear more about this later. So Thomas, it's great to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having me today.
Before we dive deeper into the discussion, let's start with a quick round of 4 fire questions to help our listeners to get to know you a little better, shall we?
Let's go.
Great.
1.
So what's the first thing you do in the morning to start your day right?
Actually, I do some running and sports exercises. So typically it's about 7 to 10 kilometers morning run and then maybe some plank challenges and stuff like that. And then I wake up my daughter and making all that stuff for her. So ready for the kindergarten, bring her to the kindergarten, and then I go to the office.
That's impressive.
2.
If you weren't working in immersive tech, what do you think you'd be doing?
That's a pretty good question. So I'm still fascinated by the job of a doctor. So no idea which area, but just in general, helping other people, doing some real important stuff like, hey, you're going sick to a doctor, and afterwards, ideally, they are thankful and they say, hey, cool, now I'm feeling better. So this is something that I find completely amazing.
Great, great to hear.
3.
Thomas, what's the last app you downloaded and why?
Which device?
Let's say for your smartphone.
At least you see my face. So it has been a while. So I think it was a game for my daughter. It was one of those learning games. But to be honest, I can't remember the name. I think it was something about learning to calculate things because she is completely into math. But as said, I can't remember the name.
I see.
4.
If you could live in any century or decade, which one would it be and why?
So I think I would like to travel into the future. Difficult to say if it's 20 or 30 years ahead, mm-hmm. but something around this. So mm-hmm. not like this big visionary thing of, hey, 150 yeah. years. It's something where I'm sure that I will hopefully experience it on my own. But just to get this impression already right now and see where all the technology we are completely into already today, where we will come to at that point of time.
All right, Thomas, thanks for playing along. So now that we know you a little bit better, let's dig a little deeper and reveal your vision of immersive experiences and the future of entertainment. So if you look back at your career from today's point of perspective, was there ever a pivotal moment that steered you towards VR and gamification?
I think there were, not only in my career, but also just in terms of a consumer, there were two great and big moments, maybe three. So the first one was the whole evolution of the internet. So I can still remember starting with this 56K modem and those noisy stuff. And it took a while to download a song in a pretty bad MP3 quality. So that was where I started with the internet. Then the whole ISDN technology came and I was able to bundle two lines. Right. Hey, that was pretty fast. And the first DSL, VDSL. And just imagine where we are right now. So the pure amount of content we are able to ship within millions of seconds just via broadband. So that's amazing. And this opens up so many opportunities, not only for sound, but also for video content, for immersive content. So this is really something where I say, okay, this was something like a complete shift in technology in the last 15 to 20 years. So that was the one thing. The second thing was the invention of the smartphone. So just having such a powerful device in our pockets all the time. I mean, that's also just amazing. And last but not least, it's all about immersive technology, especially now with the most recent developments on the Meta Quest and especially on Apple Vision Pro, where you see, hey, now we are coming to that point where we are more or less able to recreate reality in a digital world. And I think whoever tried it out knows what I'm talking about, but this is really amazing to see.
Yeah, we will follow up on this a little bit later. When I looked up on your profile on LinkedIn, I found out that you worked for, I think you worked almost 4 years for ProSieben, right?
Right.
As I think it was vice president of innovation and incubation. So what exactly can I imagine by that?
So, especially the audience in the German-speaking area knows ProSiebenSat.1 Media is one of the two largest broadcasters here in Germany. And despite their TV stations, where they have 5 to 7 channels, something around this, they also grew up a pretty broad digital field of content, of business units. And it was always the idea, hey, we need something in addition to the traditional TV business. Because, I mean, we all know consumption behaviors change. Yeah. I mean, if we look to our kids, they are not consuming content the same way like we did, right? I mean, it's completely different. When my daughter sees advertisements right now, she's completely annoyed.
What is that?
Yeah, she wants to skip it. I mean, it's like the introduction of a series. She's looking for the skip button.
Exactly. So, yeah. 3, 2, 1, skip.
Right. And that's exactly the thing. And that was something we recognized pretty early. And the idea was to build up new business models in addition to the traditional TV business, but also as an extension. So we recognized, hey, there is still a big audience out there and we have great formats out there, like The Voice of Germany, like Germany's Next Top Model and stuff like that. And you could do so much more with these content types and you could extend them digitally in a pretty good way. And this was exactly what we did. So building companion apps, interaction tools. So everything you would like to do digitally if you have an interaction channel. And this is something you have with your smartphone in your pocket.
Right. Yeah, I fully agree. So you came from ProSiebenSat.1 and then there came December 2020. So what happened that Christmas that made you leave ProSieben and move towards immersive tech? What were the biggest hurdles in transitioning from, as you mentioned, one of the two biggest Germany's broadcasters to immersive tech? And how did you overcome those hurdles or challenges?
I mean, there were many things coming together in December 2020. So, I mean, we all know there was Corona. And
exactly.
And during Corona, I think we learned a lot, also in terms of what is important, what is not important, all that kind of stuff. But also in terms of how do we want to consume media and what is important if we are not able to meet each other anymore. So all of a sudden, we were not able during Corona to meet, to talk to each other in a way like we did before. So with stepping into immersive media, this was exactly something I was fascinated by, to bring people closer together again. And I mean, with all the technology we have out there, like smartphones, like the huge broadband and stuff like that, there's still something missing. It's this kind of physical connection, this kind of feeling another person. And this is what fascinates me a lot about immersive media and where I thought, hey, this is pretty cool to do. And this is something where I would like to step into.
Great. So this was like the point where you decided that you wanted to delve deeper into this immersive tech and how to create this or establish this feeling of connection between people through media?
So definitely. I mean, between people, but also between people and the content. Mm-hmm. But while just consuming the content on our smartphone, on the TV, yeah. there's still something missing. And in the end, it's about physical perception. And whenever reality is more present, then you like to consume that type of content more. So just imagine a couple of years ago when HD was introduced. Mm-hmm. HD was pretty cool because mm-hmm. it brought you more reality to the TV screen. The same with UHD. And I think that's also the reason why 3D at home didn't work out.
Okay.
Because you had these glasses in between mm-hmm. and it wasn't like a natural behavior. So
right.
there was something in between. So I think with immersive media, if it's done in a good way, we are able to recreate a kind of reality, and this is pretty cool because it brings reality into your home.
I think you mentioned it already, this feeling of being physically isolated under those devices, whether it's 3D glasses or we will talk about HMDs like VR glasses or mixed reality glasses later. But I think that's a crucial point that leads or does not lead to a social acceptance.
I agree, and especially if you look from an outside perspective. So if you just see a person yeah. wearing these glasses, then you have the feeling this person has to be mm-hmm. isolated. Mm-hmm. But whenever you are in a real good experience, I mean, you're an expert into that field, then I guess you don't feel isolated, right?
Right.
You're
right.
completely into the game. You yeah. feel the content. You feel other persons around you. I mean, it's about 15 to 20 minutes in VR chat and mm-hmm. you immediately feel, okay, I'm part of this
you're
community.
Right.
It's kind of crazy,
yeah.
but I mean, you feel part of it and you definitely don't feel isolated.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I fully agree. And this is already brings me to the next topic. And yeah, let's say it's the elephant in the room. It's this big, maybe the biggest Volksfest in the world, just around the corner. And I briefly mentioned it during the intro. At the moment, you are producing the only officially licensed Oktoberfest game. And that must be a hell of a project. Really, Thomas, I want to know everything. First, where did you get the idea from? How did you do it? Can you get drunk in VR? But most importantly, how did you convince the IP holder to make a game out of Oktoberfest? So please tell me everything.
Okay, so where to start? So first of all, have you ever been to the real Oktoberfest? So the real one in Munich?
Of course, I've been to the one here at Europa Park. That's true.
I can't imagine.
I have to admit, not yet.
Okay, but I think many aspects of the real Oktoberfest are also coming together here at the Europa Park, right? So you're joining the whole thing probably as a group, so you're mm-hmm. not going on your own.
Yeah.
You have a lot of stuff to drink and to eat. You have great music around you. It's like a big party and big mm-hmm. celebration. And especially at the real Oktoberfest, there is another part that's the fun fair around the big beer
right.
tent.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also something most people forget when thinking about the Oktoberfest. I typically think only about beer, but actually there's a huge fun fair around. And this is also somehow comparable, I mean, to the Europa Park.
Absolutely.
So with roller coasters, with carousels, so a lot of stuff to do. So first of all, it's a great curated place to be. So whenever you step into a Volksfest like Oktoberfest mm-hmm. or whenever you step into a theme park, you immediately know what to do, right? It doesn't need explanation. So
that's
I can
true.
Walk in with my 5-year-old daughter mm-hmm. and she knows what to do. And this is something we have missed in VR so far. So this mm-hmm. kind of curated place to be that is understood immediately, where you know yeah. exactly what to do, something you can do together. And that brought us somehow to the idea of the Oktoberfest. We are a Munich-based studio. So, of course, we are
obvious.
Pretty familiar with
right.
the Oktoberfest. And yeah. I mean, where to start? Of course, with the biggest Volksfest in the world. So that was somehow things that triggered us to that idea. On the other side, there was Corona. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, the Oktoberfest was canceled two mm-hmm. times in a row. So
yeah.
that was also completely new and it never happened before. So taking both aspects into account, we decided, hey, we want to recreate the Oktoberfest in a virtual space. And it's not like a replacement or a substitute of
yeah.
the real Oktoberfest, because in the end, meeting people, drinking, celebrating together, it's pretty hard to replace. But we could add something when we think about a game and by bringing everything into the digital space. And that was kind of the idea and the initial concept where we started to talk to the city of Munich, who's
okay.
the license holder.
Yeah.
And they were pretty amazed by the idea to extend extend somehow the Oktoberfest and also to keep the values, because it was not like, hey, we just want to use the brand and then we are doing some, you know, US American interpretation of the Oktoberfest. It was, hey, we want to stick to the original. We want to transfer the whole flair, the atmosphere of the Oktoberfest to the outside world. And in the end, I think that was also one of the convincing points, like, hey, cool, they want to do something for the brand Oktoberfest. Yeah. They want to bring out the message to the world. And at that point, we found an agreement.
Great. So what do you think? What are the three main aspects that create the atmosphere of Oktoberfest? What is it about?
So actually, we are trying to recreate a full day at a fun fair. So first of all, you start by dressing up your avatar. Okay. So you're starting at the home scene where you can either choose traditional dirndls, lederhosen, or also normal stuff. So it really is up to you.
Okay.
And then you are already able to jump to the virtual fun fair. And it's first of all a lot about exploring. So just getting familiar with the surrounding, what's going on there, seeing the different attractions. And then, of course, it's about interacting with them. So whenever you see a booth, whenever you see a carousel, whenever you see a beer tent, you are able to step into it. And then you can do a lot of stuff in there. So we've tried to create everything in this experience like a game. So if you go to Outer Scooter, it's more like a Mario Kart thing where you get points by hitting others. Or there are also physics-based games like Flying Frogs where you have to hit a catapult and, you know, you have to throw those frogs into flowers. And we've tried to use all the mechanics you could have in VR, so especially all those physics things, and try to recreate these attractions from the real Oktoberfest. And last but not least, you're not doing it alone. So it's a full social VR experience. Okay. So you're doing everything together with your friends, with people abroad, and you can do it 365 days a year.
Okay, that's interesting. So is it a pure VR experience or is it also available using a browser or so?
So for the time being, we've decided to start with VR only.
I see.
Because we say this is a world where you want to dive in.
Yeah.
So it's you have to feel the surroundings. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to all those sounds. Mm-hmm. You need to get a feeling of what's going on there. So it's really a unique atmosphere. And, you know, I mean, this is especially possible in VR.
Right.
Secondly, as already said, all those physics-based games, they are really fun in VR. So just using your hands and hitting and smashing certain things, which also makes more fun in VR compared to PC or any other platform. Nevertheless, for us, it's a starting point. So we decided to start on VR and then with an ongoing growing community, we also extend to other platforms like PC.
I see. Yeah, just to reach a broader audience, right?
Right.
So has the Oktoberfest game already launched or is there an official launch for this year's Oktoberfest?
We are currently in a closed beta, meaning that some selected users are allowed to test the game, to give us feedback. We are now in the final polishing phase because the real Oktoberfest is kicking off in 7 days.
Yeah.
And by then, we are opening our beta community for everybody. So whoever wants to join will find our game on the Meta Quest store.
Yeah.
And by then, we continue developing. So we are adding more attractions. We are adding more features, more social features. So there will be a lot of more stuff to come. And we want to develop that kind of stuff together with the community.
That sounds great. I'm really super excited. So
you have to try it out.
Absolutely, I definitely want to try it out because I'm really excited to to find out how to recreate this very special atmosphere, right? Because I mean, it's such an iconic brand and such an iconic experience that I think it's really not easy to try to recreate this, but adding something on top, as you were mentioning. So it's not about replacing something, but it's to create something that goes beyond the physical experience.
Right. That's exactly the thing. So, I mean, the Oktoberfest comes with a pretty, pretty long history. You know, it started all with the wedding. Yeah. And since then, all Munich people and also folks from worldwide are celebrating together, which is cool. Yeah. But as you said, so the question was, what are we able to add on top? Mm-hmm. And we decided, it has to deal with this kind of interaction, doing something together.
Yeah.
And that's why we decided it's not like a typical VR experience or even a lean back experience where you can just, you know, sit somewhere and flying over a virtual recreation of the Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. It's all about interaction and doing stuff together. And this is, at least in our opinion, and also what we see from the user test, this is so important that people are able to interact together at the fairground.
Exactly. We already talked about COVID, and this is exactly the impression that I had looking back a couple of years now. I had the impression that in many places there was like this simple assumption that you could just take what works in the real world and you transfer it to VR, or you transfer it to a browser application or a video chat, and you would assume that it would work the same way there. But today we know that's not the case.
Right.
So what's one of the biggest misconceptions about VR that you faced time and time again?
So what we've seen, especially during COVID, as you said, I mean, everybody tried to recreate the things that are known from the real world, try to make it somehow accessible in a digital world, and then saying, hey, this it is. And all of a sudden, after COVID, I mean, none of those platforms are still there. So they all disappeared. I mean, despite video chat and stuff like that. But even there, if you have the chance to meet, I'm 100% sure that more or less everybody would like to meet in person compared to having a video chat. And I think that's the thing. So we never have tried in the past to add specific things that are coming with the medium. So when you have the chance, like, to use a feedback channel via internet or some additional interactions via a keyboard or something, then just use it. I think that's so important to use all the materials you have in order to add something on top in terms of value, because otherwise it's more like a recreation of the existing in a bad way. And the same with VR. I mean, just meeting and maybe also dressing and styling your avatar, that's probably not enough. So the question is, what can you do in terms of really giving the feeling of being together and maybe also exploring things you're not able to do in the real world? Yeah. And that's the thing. So just imagine you have a good friend sitting in the US. Probably he's not able to come to the Oktoberfest. But we make it possible. Yeah. And it's you're not able to get drunk to answer one of your previous questions. So that's not the case, but you can have a great time together and experience so many things that you know from fun fairs all over the world, that you know from theme parks. And I think that's the thing. It's not like, hey, we are building a drinking game or something. It's like, hey, we are building a curated place to be, and this is the value add we put on top.
Yeah, and this I find particularly interesting, because you're not doing just any kind of metaverse place to meet in VR.
Right.
You are doing the Oktoberfest. Mentioning this specifically because I don't know, how many visitors does Oktoberfest have?
Last year, they broke a record with over 7 million.
7 million.
In 16 days.
In 16 days. Okay, so one could assume this is a large-scale event, right?
It is.
Okay, so that having said, you're trying to bring this into the virtual world. So we can talk about large-scale virtual experiences with a lot of participants, right? So where do you think we are today in 2024? What are the biggest, maybe technical challenges, if you want to have such a big amount of people in a VR space? And how are you solving them today?
For me, there are two main challenges. The one thing is about, and you mentioned these typical kind of metaverses, and we say we are not this typical kind of metaverse, to be honest, and say we are social experience. And one of the main challenges that come along with the typical way of metaverses is it's just huge. There's so many places to be. There's a lot of user-generated content. There's so much good and bad content, and for user, it's pretty hard to differentiate where to go. And then, I mean, if you go to one of those big and famous metaverses and you're in an instance completely on your own, then you're coming twice, maybe also third time, but then you say, okay, that's enough. So it's just dealing with these kind of empty rooms, tons of different rooms and content to explore. And this is something where we say, hey, there's one curated place to be and where we see a big benefit by doing it. So secondly, and this is more now on the technical side, we're still dealing with I would say, not the best performance on headsets.
Yeah.
And this brings us to several problems in the end when it comes to bring more people together, because of course we want to offer pretty good quality in terms of resolution, but mm-hmm. as soon as we are bringing more and more people into the same instance, we are coming somewhere to an end of what's possible on these kind of devices. And this is exactly where we have to deal a lot. I mean, I've already mentioned the whole thing about huge broadband and bandwidth mm-hmm. that is available right now, which is cool. But if we look to current solutions in terms of cloud rendering, mm-hmm. we are still not yet there when it comes to latency.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what we are doing a lot. So we want to have this kind of interaction. We have a lot of physical interaction. And if you hit the catapult and mm-hmm. it needs, I don't know, 5 to 30 milliseconds or so. If something is happening on your screen, then this is by far too long. So these are exactly the challenges we're mm-hmm. currently facing, but where we see a lot of improvements in the last couple of weeks and months, so especially when it comes to new devices like the Apple Vision Pro.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to sum up on this, trying to recreate a physical happening or a physical experience ever since COVID, I know. But just to close this topic once and for all, because I know this is probably an old hat, but let's be honest. So in your opinion, which industries have really, and I mean really, changed as a result of COVID and the rise of XR, where there is really no way back to before COVID?
I'm not sure if there was a big change just according to COVID. I mean, there are so many industries that currently benefit from XR, especially mm-hmm. from mixed reality. Mm-hmm. So all these industry use cases where we see it helps a lot. So I think this is definitely something that is already there, but I think that was more like an evolutionary process. So it did not happen all of a sudden because of COVID. Just in terms of COVID, I wouldn't say that there was one industry that benefited a lot just because of COVID.
Yeah, that's true. And if we look to where we are here at this very moment, in the middle of a theme park, we've known each other for a couple of years now. So you know what Europa Park and the Mack Group of companies is all about and what we're doing. And as much as we are pushing new technologies and as much as we are creating new kinds of experience, still, where we are sitting right now, we are coming and living from a very analog experience. I mean, let's be honest. Roller coasters and cotton candy. You cannot replicate that in VR. And this is pretty similar to an Oktoberfest experience. And I've been reading it over and over again for years. New technologies like VR and mixed reality and AR, they will change the way we create, but also consume traditional entertainment experiences like movies and music. What's your personal opinion on this? Because streaming figures for music, films, series, they've been on the rise for years. So what exactly do you see as the change?
You are right, especially if you have such an analog experience, like sitting here in the middle and the heart of the Europa Park. This is pretty hard to replicate. Also feeling the real G-forces when sitting on a roller coaster, I mean, that's unique. On the other side, when our users sit on an attraction like a Topspin or like any other thing, they really feel something. So it's not like, hey, it's cool to sit here. Sometimes they're starting in a standing position and then they have to sit down because mm-hmm. they are not able to stand anymore. So there's something happening in the head. And what I think is, by doing these kind of extreme ways of interpreting things, we're opening up also new ways of mixed mediums, like you are already doing here in the Europa Park, the combination of VR and a real roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And I think that's in the end where we are ending up. So some companies, some developers are pushing things to the max, mm-hmm. and then certain things will find their adoption in the broader audience and will be introduced into daily life. And I think also when we talk about the new generation of VR headsets and mixed reality glasses, whenever you have them on, there are these wow moments of, mm-hmm. hey, this is so cool. And then you ask, okay, would you like to experience the same thing for 2.5 hours during the full evening? And people start thinking and say, okay, maybe not, but certain aspects will come into the game. And maybe it's only something like the interaction element, doing kind of interactive storytelling. Maybe that's a first starting point, and not completely changing the video per se. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure there will be elements that are currently tried out on these new mediums that will make their way into the daily consumption.
Yeah, I agree. Let's quickly talk about what your suggestion would be to a younger me. So we both have kids, right? So suppose I was only half my age, Gen Z. Maybe just graduated from high school and I don't know what to do with myself. But I'm interested in gaming, VR, new technologies. So which horse would you bet on the moment? What advice would you give to your own children?
It still takes some time till my daughter will have to take this decision. So let's see where we'll end up in 12 to 15 years. But I'm still convinced that whatever brings reality more to a user is something to focus on. And there are tons of technology, and there's so many things that accelerate exactly this process. So there is everything around haptics. There mm-hmm. is everything around the visual stuff. There is so much things around sound. I mean, just imagine the evolution of sound we have experienced in the last 5 to 10 years, and maybe with the first AirPod generation mm-hmm. that was put on the market. So there are so many technologies out there that are exactly focusing on increasing the reality in a digital world. And I think whatever it will be at that point of time, that might be something to focus on, because that will have relevance, and this might find its way to any new product, to any new industry, maybe also to any kind of new medium we are mm-hmm. currently not able to think of.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk briefly about the Apple Vision Pro, because you mentioned it before. Now, this thing has been on the market for, I think, 6 months now. We've seen all the reviews on YouTube. And I know that you guys at K5 Factory started working with it very early on, right? So, hand on heart, and I'll give you my opinion later, what's it all about? What's in it for me?
It's an Apple product. And, typically, Apple is combining a lot of good things, and this is what we currently see in the device. So I think there is a lot of knowledge coming together from all things I've mentioned there, from display technology, from sound technology, from everything they have done before. Also just UX elements known from the Apple Watch. So there's a lot of good stuff coming together. And, if you're looking for a good device that will support your working wise or also for entertainment purposes, this might be a good device in the future. So that's my honest opinion. So if we think about the next generation, or maybe two or three generations in advance, I could definitely imagine that this could replace my MacBook in the future, because mm-hmm. it's quite convenient to have all those virtual screens around you, everything doable by your hands, and maybe having some haptical keyboards in addition. This is something I'm missing currently. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of potential in it. On the other side, I wouldn't say that it's changing everything. So for me, it's more like the next evolutionary step in terms of computing. And I think that's why it also makes sense that they're saying, hey, it's spatial computing. I think it's the next natural step to do so. And there will be some users that will use it more for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely sure that for those users, new formats will arise, like more 360 content, 360 interactive content, full 3D interactive content, but also work-wise, there will be new applications coming up, and which makes sense. But I think it's more like an evolutionary step.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's exactly the point. That's exactly what triggers me the most. And that's what I wanted to discuss this with you, because you mentioned it, spatial computing. And maybe this is an advice that we can give to the next generation, what maybe they should focus on. What am I doing right now? I'm sitting in front of a computer. I'm looking at a screen. And I've been looking on screens and windows and rectangles in 2D for 30 years now. And now I'm putting on a headset and I stare at the very same rectangular windows, but I'm doing it in 3D now. So what's it all about, right? So maybe we have to rethink of working with different types of content. Maybe we have to rethink this human-machine interaction, right? So what's your opinion on spatial computing, and why may it be important for the upcoming generations?
As I said, so user experience and user interface will change completely. And currently what we observe is once again, so we are putting old interfaces right into new devices. Yeah. And I mean, somehow it's more 3D, it's more immersive, but in the end, it's all known stuff, and you could do more or less the same on the iPhone. But also there, I think there is a reason why Apple has started to ship the device without any controllers, just to emphasize the user to use the voice even more. And this might be the first step into new ways of user experience, also kind of UI design, because in the end, do you really need an UI?
Yeah.
I think that with everything that is going on in terms of voice recognition, in terms of artificial intelligence, and where we are already right now, maybe it's not necessary to have this traditional UI anymore. Yeah. And just going once again into VR, we've also rethought the full UI concept since our first game completely. So it was not like, hey, we don't want to have a physical button with a laser pointer. This is not what we like
exactly
to have.
So that's the point.
Yeah, we had something like a basketball game, and you had to throw the ball into goal or something just to come to the next step, because we said, hey, we want to use the medium. We want to use the stuff we have. And with the Apple Vision, we have to go one step further, because there are no input controls anymore. We have to use your voice, eyes, and hands. And this is cool because it's really natural in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I could continue for hours. That's great. That's exactly the kind of discussion that I wanted to have. And this leads me to my favorite and my famous last question.
7 years from now.
So to wrap things up, Thomas, where do you see the world of not only immersive entertainment, but technology in 7 years? What kind of experience do you think will become a part of our everyday lives?
So I hope that, also something we've discussed right now, that the way of daily work will change somehow, and there will be some new ways of doing PowerPoint presentations and doing meetings and stuff like that. Yeah, because actually this is really where you could change something. So just imagine the typical meeting situation. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Zoom conferences, Teams whatsoever, but if you just imagine that there are three avatars sitting in the same room, this could give you a pretty natural feeling. So this is something where I hope that we're coming to that point, because I think this will change a lot, also in terms of, you know, sustainability, cost reduction. We don't have to travel so much. So this might really be important. Secondly, I mean, a business case will still be a business case, but if you imagine you are in such a virtual world, then also the way of doing product presentations, doing presentations at all, may change completely. So this is those two aspects are some things I see work-wise. And just in terms of entertainment, I think there will be still an ongoing adoption of VR glasses and mixed reality headsets, but what I really hope to see is that we see more mixed reality in daily life by, you know, some smartphone applications, maybe very, very good AR glasses that don't look like ski goggles, but something that is really bearable. So, and I mean, just taking into account what we have seen with the last two Ray-Ban Meta devices, then I think we're in a good way into that direction. So I hope to see more on that. And this is really something where we can enhance our daily lives.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Thomas. Thanks for sharing your knowledge and sharing your vision with us today. And also many thanks to you, Michael Mack, for giving me the opportunity to conduct this interview again. I've had the honor of doing this a couple of times now, and yet today was another very special episode to me, because I really appreciate you and your work, Thomas. And I know that what you do always has substance, and above all, that you know how to choose the right medium for the right story. So rest assured that we will keep a close eye on you and wish you all the best.
Thanks for having me today.
Dear listeners, I hope today's episode has brought you added value. If so, subscribe to this podcast and join us again next time when we will find out what the future holds for us.
Thank you for this inspiring exchange. Together as Emotioneers, we have once again gained fascinating insights and expanded the boundaries of the known. To all our listeners out there, remember that the world is full of undiscovered possibilities. go out and shape our future. Until next time on The World Beyond.
Mac One presents The World Beyond. Brought to you by Michael Mack and his Emotion Is of Tomorrow.